joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line, NFL analyst Charles Davis. Charles, always good to speak with you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I trust the same with you guys. And, hey, I'm up to talk The Last Dance. That was way more fun than talk about other stuff. That was great last night.
You know, you're of the same age that we are, pretty much, and you're probably in the same boat. There's so many things that you forgot about until you saw them last night, and you said, oh, yeah, that did happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And just seeing players, you know, sometimes you forget who was even out there and who they were playing against. And, you know, you have to remember that big game Michael Jordan had against Boston in the playoffs. What was it, 63 points?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dennis Johnson was the you know, if he had played for anyone else and Boston had the big score, he would have been the Boston Strangler as a defender. He was that good a defender. And Michael destroyed him that day.
Well, think about this, Charles.
And everyone else that ran at him, you know, you forget about those things. Because Dennis Johnson, to me, was a Hall of Fame basketball player, but got caught on a team with so many Hall of Famers that he just couldn't get in line and unfortunately passed away, and he won't live to see that day if it ever comes anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. He wins a championship in Seattle. He is one of the go-to guys on that team, and you're right, he's a piece there. But Michael, in that series, he scores 63 in game two. I forgot he scored 49 in game one. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that was the first game they had taken the time restriction off of it.
Right.
I bet that was a heck of a meeting because you guys mentioned it about being in Indiana and Stan Allback saying, I can't play anymore, I'll get fired. I can't imagine what the meeting was once they clinched the playoffs. How were you going to go into the playoffs and say, okay, it's still a 14-minute deal, but you're in the playoffs, you know? So I'm sure that's where Michael had the advantage finally at that point. It almost felt like, for us modern-day guys, when we say modern-day, most recently, Steven Strasburg and the Washington Nationals in the pitch count.
Well, I also think that they were probably tanking that shot that Paxton hit. It didn't sound like the front office was happy as well by getting into the postseason and not getting a draft pick. One other thing about that. Look, we all love watching sports, but we also know it's a business. It's never been more evident. It's the business headlines scream every bit as much as the final scores. How about the fact that an indoor soccer team was outdrawing the Chicago Bulls? I mean, that was the one to me where you go, well, that's not possible. As I said, this is not some outpost town. This is Chicago.
Yeah, and no one else flashed in my mind. I wonder if the Chicago Wolves minor league hockey team was outdrawing them at that point, too, along with the Blackhawks. You know? I mean, those are the kind of things that go through your mind. I'm like, an indoor soccer team, which at that time was really kind of a novel sport. And, you know, remember that guy that had tattoo who was that great scorer in indoor soccer back in the day? Was he the one drawing people?
Let me give you one other thing.
That was happening.
Do you know the year after Jordan is drafted is when Reinsdorf gets in for $9.2 million? He bought the Chicago Bulls for $9.2 million. That's how, you know, the NBA was kind of a mess and everything else. And you just go, well, did he buy him in 65 or 85?
Good God. I mean, $9.2 million, just think about what it was before. I grew up in New York State, and Magic Johnson's rookie season, he plays, I think his season opener was against the Clippers, and that's when World Be Free was with the Clippers, and he put 30-something on him, and after the game said, they better hide that kid at forward on defense if you think he's going to last in this league. And he ends up the season playing center, jumping center, and going 42-15-7, and that game's on tape delay. I remember, because I grew up in New York, remember Warner Wolf, the big W?
Oh, yeah.
The big W would always, his big thing was, you know, if there was a tape delay or whatever, if you don't want to know the score, turn away from the screen. And he would hold up like a cardboard cutout, you know, a cardboard thing with you know, magic marker on it with the final score. And they'd say, okay, you can turn around now. And as literally we are in sports. If you had the Knicks in 15, you lost. The Knicks lose by 19 tonight. And so I used to love that stuff. But I remember his tape delay. Game six of the NBA Finals, and Magic goes off, and then we have to hear about it the next day, and everyone's scrambling trying to find a copy of it.
Charles Davis with us. Obviously, you've called many a Falcons game over the past couple of seasons, and it's a conundrum. Nobody can figure this team out. You've seen the really bad, and you've seen the really good. All of that being said, how do they consistently put it all together is the $64,000 question.
And, you know, I think in this draft, which direction they go with the first pick, because, you know, that's what we're focused on now. Look, they've got places they can go throughout, but obviously Thursday night is Oscars night, right? So is an edge rusher there that they're really excited about? Well, they just went to free agency, right, and trade and picked up, you know, Dante Fowler. He's supposed to now be the answer to help out, you know, Grady Jarrett inside. Do you want another guy inside like Jarrett? What if Javon Kinlaw is still there from South Carolina? Does that count? The secondary was a mess, as we well know. And C.J. Henderson, the corner from Florida, could very well still be there. And if so, is that where you go? Or is there another corner you like at that high? An A.J. Terrell, you know, from Clemson. You know, do you like a Jalen Johnson from Utah that high? Who knows? But they have so many different places to go. But the one thing to keep in mind is they actually get a first-round pick back this year that they didn't get to use last year. That was Chris Lindstrom, the guard from Boston College. You know, it seems like funny math, but they're fortunate that way that, okay, we don't have to go there, even though the offensive line might have been a place that you would look. But to me, this is looking defense first and see how that board falls. And let's see if Thomas Dimitroff is as bold as he normally is.
Let me ask you about beating New Orleans and San Francisco in their buildings. What am I supposed to take out of that this many months later?
Good wins, really good wins, because it solidified what players were telling management and telling ownership, that they like playing for Dan Quinn, that they can win for Dan Quinn, they can do things. Because you guys know before that open week, that was a speculation, right? Okay, they'll get to open week, they'll make the change then, because that's when you normally do it, right? Give your new coach a chance. You make that trade, blah, 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 blah. When they decided to stand pat, now they had to justify it. And the players had to justify what they've been telling everyone, because they were pretty adamant. They liked playing for Dan. And I remember years ago, a good friend of mine was an athletic director at a school, and he said a bunch of the kids came in because he was getting ready to fire his coach. He said a bunch of kids came in, but we really like playing for him. He said he asked each one of them individually, well, if you like playing for him, how come you don't win for him? You know? And that's what they needed for DQ. And those wins were huge, absolutely huge. Yeah, you can make the excuses. San Francisco's beat up in the secondary. New Orleans got shocked. But those were two really good wins for them. And it gives you the thought process, okay, let's go back to the beginning of the season. We thought this was going to be a pretty decent team. That's more of what we're looking for. Now they got to come out of the gate strong this year for that to continue.
Well, you talk about corners. You look at the NFC South, and it speaks for itself. Even Teddy Bridgewater had a great undefeated run with the Saints when Breeze went down last year, and the aforementioned Breeze and now Tom Brady. I mean, if you're the Falcons, you better make sure that these young corners are ready to go.
Definitely. And at the same time, not giving up on the guys that you had in last year, because you guys know what it's like to – you know, watch those kids go through some bumps, and if the kids have the right stuff about them, maybe they make a jump this year. You know, I'm talking about Sheffield. I'm talking about Isaiah Oliver. I'm talking about those kind of guys. Can they bounce back from with that adversity? Because you're not going to all of a sudden go into the draft and draft five corners, right? I mean, it's not really feasible. I mean, a team that I remember most recently, remember Green Bay a few years ago, the last three picks of the draft, they took three running backs in a row. I remember we were all going, what the heck are they doing? Well, two of them are Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. So that worked out for them pretty well. Overall, you don't really hit one position that much.
You also don't have to pay the going rate because you're paying in that lower.
Low rate. For these corners, you're more likely to go a little bit higher rate.
So somebody's got to tell me why. Because in a world where the most scrutinized position in the history of everything is quarterback, let's figure out what we can, and let's go draft one in the first round. But they hit at a 50% rate. Why is Jalen Hurts not every bit as good as everybody who will be drafted in front of him?
I think there's still, you know, when I say still, I think for a lot of people watching the progression of Jalen throughout his career, it really centered in on throwing the football with accuracy. Because early in his career, that was a question mark. And I think that the question mark for him, for him, a big answer was he could very well turn around to all of us and say, okay, I get where you're coming from the national championship game against Georgia when I got benched at halftime when, you know, go look at the stats. They were not pretty. You guys know that. And Tua came in and even with an interception and some other plays, found a way to fashion together a big win. He would say, okay, go back to the next time when I bailed out Tua, right? And it was the SEC championship game against Georgia and they were down at the half. and he came out, bailed him out, and threw the ball, and then went to Oklahoma and threw the ball increasingly effectively. These are his calling cards. This is what he's putting out there. It's funny you brought him up because I legitimately was on the phone with an NFL personnel guy right before we talk. I'm not trying to name drop or whatever. It just tells you about how people are having conversations. And we talked 15 minutes about Jalen Hurts and the possibility of him being picked late in the first round or someone trading back into the first round to take him for that.
Well, that's the first I heard of that, because I cannot believe that the list that I've seen where, look, I don't know, the 15 minutes in conversation, are you a winner in college? What type of system did you play in? The two conferences you played in? I don't know any of it because I'm not paid to supposedly know any of it.
Yeah.
I just can't figure this one out. I was reading third and fourth round, and I said, at what point is somebody going to give me?
Yeah, I would say that third, fourth round stuff you were reading was prior to the run-up to this draft. Because he worked himself into second-round territory by the time we left Mobile, Alabama.
You know, it's funny. Charles Davis with us, finishing up with him. And, again, NFL analysts called a ton of Falcons games. You brought up the Packers drafting a bunch of running backs late in their draft. Well, running back, that position now is not exactly at a premium when you talk about first-round draft choices. All of that being said, the Falcons signed Todd Gurley. What do you think he has left?
I hope it's more than what I saw at the end of last year, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but I said it on air, Los Angeles Rams at San Francisco 49ers. He doesn't have the same burst that I'm used to seeing. I don't see that juice. I see that 5-yard run there, which was nice. That used to be at least a 10-yard run. Those are the things that I used to see out of him consistently. And then it must have been like one series after my big yap came out. He took one to the perimeter, and it's like, whoosh, there's Todd Gurley again. How much of that does he have consistently is going to be the question, but he hasn't been the same guy for at least a season and maybe a little bit more that we saw previously. So does he have enough to do things? I think the answer is yes. Is he going to be the Todd Gurley we saw before? I'd have to be skeptical until I saw more consistency out of him.
Are you nervous about the way the Atlanta Falcons have their money distributed? Not only this year, but certainly going forward.
I'll be frank with you. I haven't even locked in on that as much.
So what if I tell you quarterback and wide receiver, $50 million?
Yeah. Well, that's gonna give you pause. There's no doubt about it. And they're the fulcrums of the team. But what that means, if you've got that much tied in, you've got to build with other pieces around them, obviously, that can fit your salary cap. It means you've got to hit on your evaluations. Those guys have to play to that level. That's why the Olivers and the Sheffields are so important for you. You know, they've got to come up and play at a much higher level. You got to keep Deion Jones healthy so that he can play. Grady Jarrett needs some help inside so he's not doubled and tripled every time he tries to rush the quarterback. Those are things that you run into with that. And they also thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, I think we all thought that last year they would be prime contenders in the NFC South.
I know I did.
Yeah, to me, it was a mystery how they came out of the gate. I was stunned. I really thought that they would compete very hard for that division title.
James is going to be a backup this year, and is Cam Newton find a starting job?
I'm more bullish on Jameis finding a place and competing. If I'm him, I'm eyeing Jacksonville, but I'm really eyeing New England, frankly. Hmm. I'd love to get there if I'm him and get to New England and have a chance to resurrect my career and compete with Jarrett Stidham. I would love that one.
Belichick feels like he can send these guys in the right direction. You know, it's funny you bring that up because
you guys know it too. If it doesn't work, he doesn't mind getting rid of you either.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys you bring in and now you got to try and make it work for the entire season. If it doesn't work for him, you're gone. It's that simple. I'll find someone else.
It's not maybe as bizarre as it seems, because he took a chance years ago in Cleveland on a guy in Vinny Testaverde that was washed out seemingly, and Vinny led him to the playoffs, so he's done it before.
I just think that kind of talent and this type of age, and here's the thing, everything about Jameis with the off-field and Florida State and what have you, okay, look, I'm not discounting any of it, and it sounds like we do in sports, right? I know it's real, and some people were really hurt by all that. I get all that. But we've gone through the system. Everything's happened. He's still out there playing. He's good to go. That kind of talent, plus he's a worker. Okay, he's first in locker room, last out. Teammates like him. It's not like they, you know, he comes like, oh, God, here comes that guy again. They actually like him. They like playing with him. They just don't understand why he makes as many mistakes as he does with that kind of talent. I mean, how do you have that kind of talent? So 35 touchdown passes, over 5,000 yards, scored nearly 600 points as a team, and still burped the ball up 36 times with 30 of them being interceptions.
Right, because that last stat line.
That's what you're looking at.
Right,
that's the problem. That's why Tom Brady's in Tampa.
You're an MVP candidate with the beginning of that statement. You're a guy looking for a job at the back end of that statement.
Right. You're an MVP candidate if you do what you normally do with that type of talent, which means you throw 12, 13 interceptions.
Hey, 2 seconds. Just give me Cam.
He had a heck of a year.
You don't think Cam's is viable?
I think it's going to be tougher for people because you got to make a few other adjustments there in terms of your team, your organization, and what you want to do offensively. And I'm not saying teams won't, but I'm looking at the places where I thought that it would work out the best, and they didn't have interest. And I thought the Chargers was almost a lock because Anthony Lynn called plays for Tyrod Taylor in Buffalo when they went to the playoffs, and now Tyrod's going to be his quarterback again. And wouldn't Cam Newton be a plus-size Tyrod Taylor, much better prospect?
Yeah, one would think.
And they didn't even bite, which really blew me away. Because they need to sell tickets there as well. You guys know they can't give away tickets in L.A. for the Chargers.
Well, they're not carrying their share of the water, no doubt about it, when it comes to the building of that stadium with the PSLs. From what I understand, there's basically none of them sold.
And who knows when that place is even going to be open now. So, Charles, listen, I know you got a lot of moving parts. We wish you the best.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be talking some NFL in the not-too-distant future, as in all of this is behind us. Thanks for the time, as always.
We certainly hope so. And thank you, guys. Always great talking with you. Please stay safe, you and your families.
Thanks,
okay?
Charles.
You do the same. Charles Davis, NFL analyst, joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.